Morning Fort McMurray with Buffalo and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Max City Morning Show. I am your host, Elia Pierre. We're going to start this episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million things with your day, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me. So thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
What are you up, boss? Welcome to the Max City Morning Show.
Hey everybody, Keith Simpson here from Norelto Edda. We support the Oil Barons. We've joined the Drive-In Movie Theater. We're involved in the marathon here in Fort McMurray, and that's what makes this community such an amazing place to live.
And we are back. Big shout out to Norel Toyota, our title sponsor, Keith, Fad, Nimmer, all the boys and girls down at Norel. Thank you for your ongoing support. Now, we're filming a bunch of episodes today. I think, what, six episodes today or something, Tanner?
Something like that. I can't count.
And I gotta say, like, I get to do that moment of gratitude every time we film, and I genuinely mean it. And when I we film numerous times a day, it just makes me feel good to do that intro. So that gratitude moment is a legitimate thing, and I love doing it. So on another note, as you know, I do not introduce my guests because they can do a better job of that than myself. So can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
Good morning. My name is Jeff Ingram, and I am organizing the Fort McMurray Highland Games.
There we go. All right, let's get right into that. So when is that taking place?
July 1st, Canada Day, out at McDonald Island Park.
Okay, so is this an add-on? Because all week we have individuals who are either doing the Strongman or now you doing the Highland Games. Is this in conjunction, or is this an event that's within the Strongman?
It's in conjunction with. We are together part of the Canada Day Strength Spectacular.
Okay.
So the Strongman will start in the morning at 10:30, and then right. Highland Games follows through at 1:30 in the afternoon.
Okay. So I'm so choked. Like, I can't tell you how choked I am that I'm not going to be here for this. But I've seen the Highland Games on TV.
It's not too late to change your plans, you know?
Oh, no. This is family plans. Listen, I don't run my time. There's somebody else very important, my wife, who runs my time.
And, well, I understand that completely.
So, I've seen it on TV. I've never seen it in person. What are the different events that take place? I know you throw a log. Mm-hmm. What are the other events?
So the Highland Games is technically slightly wrong in terms of terminology. So okay. A full Highland Games is actually a large event that would include pipe bands, individual piping, Highland dancing, and at a really large one, there would be events also called the light events.
Okay.
What we're doing would be called the heavy events portion of the Highland Games. Right. I've been calling it Highland Games because that's a term that most people, I think, will recognize.
That's right. For marketing, it's just easier.
So yeah. The heavy events consist of traditional throwing events. So it's very similar to track and field, except much heavier.
Right.
Because if you're living in the 11th century in Scotland, mm-hmm. nobody has a discus.
Right, right.
And nobody has a shot put because cannonballs weren't around, so
that's right.
Nobody's going to have a shot put yet. So they would throw typically things that were around at the time. So the traditional events are typically a stone put, which looks almost exactly like a shot put. Mm-hmm. The weight for distance, and the weights are metal implements on a chain with a handle on them.
Right.
Their origin is that they were actually used as counterbalance weights on a scale.
Okay.
So the weights there are all based on the old British system of a stone.
Right.
One stone is 14 pounds, two is 28. 3 is 42, and 56, which is also known as the half hundred weight.
Mm-hmm.
And those are typically the weights of the implements.
Okay.
You have the hammer toss, which is, originates as probably a lot of the games in the heavy events originate, I think, from, you know, guys in the village being bored and probably getting into the scotch a little bit.
Right.
Which I'm sure nobody in this office ever does,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, even, well, I don't know.
Even though there's a pile of scotch in the
there's
corner.
There's a lot
there.
Of scotch here. Scotch and whiskey.
Every now and then the boys would probably get into the whiskey a little bit.
Yeah.
And then people would do the kind of things that boys do when they get into the whiskey a little bit. So one of those things was seeing who could throw the blacksmith's hammer the furthest.
Okay.
No idea what the blacksmith thought of that, right?
That's right.
Having to go out into a field and find his hammer.
Right.
There is also the caber toss, which is the log that you mentioned.
Yeah, yeah.
An absolutely unique event. There is nothing like it in any other sport anywhere.
No, there isn't.
And the other event that we'll be doing on the 1st at Mack Island is the weight for height or a weight over the bar. So in the Strongman, they do a similar event where they throw sandbags with two handles over a bar. The difference is we throw the 56-pound weight with one hand, and the height increases. So in Strongman,
wow.
the weight of the implement will increase.
Right.
And in Highland Games, the height of the bar increases. So the weight stays the same, but you got to throw higher.
Higher. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. How'd you get into this?
Going way back into the last century.
Yeah.
In 1995.
Okay.
A friend of mine that I work with suggested to me that one of his bucket list items would be to toss a caber in Scotland.
Okay.
And I thought that sounded like an amazing idea.
Yeah.
At the time, I was a powerlifter, competitive powerlifter, and I had been really interested in doing strongman. But at the time, there were no local strongman contests happening.
Okay.
The exposure of strongman at the time was very limited. I think the whole reason I knew about it was because that same year,
yeah.
TSN had aired the 1995 World's Strongest Man.
Oh, okay. The
first time I ever saw it.
Right.
And I had a long history of training. I had played football in high school, and then I had a brief career as a pro wrestler after that.
Oh, cool.
It wasn't as good as it sounds.
Yeah.
I've seen those documentaries. That sounds like it was probably terrible.
Yeah.
It was. I also have, in addition to a long history of training, I have an incredibly long history of injury.
Ooh.
And that goes back to football and wrestling. So
right.
I wanted to do things, but I didn't have. I did enjoy powerlifting.
Mm.
But powerlifting I found to be a little bit limiting in that it was three lifts, you know, for your max, which is fun.
Yeah.
But not the same. And as soon as I saw strongman, I was like, wait, you mean I can get as big as I want to get?
Yeah.
I can get as strong as I possibly want, and I can compete, and this is okay. And I mean, at the time, I was 310 pounds.
Right.
Which was average in strongman, and I thought, that's what I want to do.
Right. Right.
And I had no idea that the Highland Games was really even a thing. I knew of its existence.
Yeah.
And I happened to mention to my dad one day that my friend had said to me he wanted to do this. And he said, I think there's one here. And he dropped off a pamphlet for me for the games in Selkirk, Manitoba.
Yeah, yeah.
I competed that year and wound up competing there every year for the next 20 years.
Awesome. And so I'm surprised that you didn't show up in a kilt today. So is that something that you have to wear when you compete?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It is. The games are very traditional, and traditional attire is a big part of that.
Yeah, it looks so cool.
They have changed a little bit, of course, over the years. So, for example, the handle for the hammer was traditionally made of rattan, so that you get, it's like the Olympic hammer throw, except there's a solid handle, right?
Okay.
And traditionally it was made of rattan because you get good flex out of that.
Right.
Now we use a PVC handle because rattan is not as readily available. And PVC, you can get a length of PVC, still pretty cheap.
Yeah.
You can make three hammer handles out of one of those.
Right, so right.
Things like that have changed. But, yeah, wearing the kilt is an absolute must.
You
don't get on the field if you're not wearing a kilt.
Right.
Some games are more particular than that. Some games will require you to wear proper kilt socks and things like that.
Yeah, but, keeps the tradition going.
Yeah, exactly. Tradition is very important. It is a cultural event. You definitely don't have to be Scottish to compete.
Right.
But it does matter. You know, the cultural aspect of it does matter to the overall games themselves. And we try to be respectful of that tradition as much as possible.
That's right.
I didn't wear a kilt today simply because I typically don't break it out.
That's right, unless you're competing.
Unless it's a little bit of an occasion.
Yeah.
Going to a wedding or competing or something like
that. So that's you're leading me into my next question. I was going to be like, do you rock a kilt often and or do you have more than one?
I think I have six.
Okay.
Yeah. So I have one that's actually from Scotland that is made of wool. So it's a very traditional kilt, and I would consider that one to be my more formal kilt.
Okay.
So I would wear that to something, a wedding or something similar.
Right.
I did wear it to compete in a couple of times, but when it gets dirty and you put a sheaf pitchfork through it a couple of times and you're thinking to yourself, this is a $700 garment, I don't want to be doing that.
That's right.
And then I have a number of what are generally called sport kilts, which are cheaper, usually made of polyester. And honestly, a cotton poly kilt on a 35-degree day when you're competing
is
much better than an 8-pound wool kilt.
That's right, no doubt.
That gets a little warm after a while.
Yeah.
So, but honestly, I love wearing my kilt, and I will definitely take any excuse to wear it pretty much. So I don't get to wear it often enough, honestly.
I think they're cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Like, it's sweet. Now, in regards – Tanner's got his questions ready. Okay, let's go right in there because I don't want to –
Well, we can't go right in there.
Yeah, because before we go right in there, there needs to be an ad, and there needs to be a little bit of awkward silence. So, Tanner, let's –
Hit him with the awkward silence.
Hit him with the awkward silence.
It's all – It's all about getting that job, the dream job, or any job for that matter. It blows my mind how many people don't prepare for their interviews. You need to prepare for the interview to get the job, to get the money. So prepare for the interview. Now, you guys see me here sitting crisscross applesauce every day. But the fact of the matter is, I was in human resources for over a decade in the oil and gas industry, primarily focusing on recruiting. So I know a thing or two when it comes to those interviews. So sign up for the course. Trust me, you won't regret it. Now back to the show.
Did you put a sound effect in the ad?
I might have.
That's awesome. All right. So anyways, awkward silence over. Tanner, hit him with the Max City Minute.
All righty. Question number one for you. What is one tip you have to growing such a great beard?
Stop shaving.
That's a fantastic tip.
I like it.
Question number two. What is your favorite fact you have about the events you participate in?
Favorite fact? Well, they've been around since the mid-11th century. So the earliest, one of the earliest recorded incidents of the heavy events happening was around 1055, when the then King of Scotland, Malcolm Canmore, who's the guy who took over from Macbeth, so a little different than the Shakespearean stuff, but in reality he did exist. And Malcolm Canmore used to have his people compete in the heavy events to determine who might make the best soldiers, or more particularly the best bodyguards for sure, because if you had a guy who can throw a 140-pound log a long way, that's probably a good guy to have watching your back.
That's right.
Question number three. What is your go-to workout song when you're in the gym?
The Way of Vikings by Amon Amarth.
Question number four. What is your favorite way to use your strength in your everyday life?
That's a tough one. I actually can't think of anything. I don't have too many opportunities to actually do anything that requires an exceptional amount of strength every day. Getting out of bed. Mental strength.
There you go.
And your final question. What is your favorite way to spend your time on a hot summer day?
Outside with a cold drink, reading in the sun.
And those have been your five questions.
I'm just going to feed off those five questions. What kind of books do you like to read?
I flip back and forth between fiction and nonfiction.
Okay.
Mostly fiction lately. I like British and especially Scottish crime fiction.
Okay.
For the most part. Yeah,
cool.
I'll go through those very quickly.
Are you have a book in my hand reading type of guy? Or
absolutely.
You I have the book in my ear listening type of guy?
100% book in hand and not on screen. I need paper.
You need the paper. Okay.
I'm old. I need
yeah,
school stuff.
Do you keep your books, or like, do you have a library going, or do you just kind of recycle them as a?
I do. I have been recycling them lately, for space reasons. Honestly,
right.
I have a bit of a collector's mentality.
Yeah.
And I do like certain authors. So I will tend to have a collection of certain authors.
Right.
And my previous rationale for keeping all of those was occasionally I would go back and reread things, because I find when you reread stuff, especially nonfiction stuff, you tend to take something new away from it every time you've read it.
For sure.
So there are definitely some books that I will keep because I read them when I was younger and they had a fairly substantial impact on me.
Yeah.
And I will likely never get rid of those, but I have been giving them away lately, especially some of the newer stuff. I have to look at them and do an honest self-assessment and say, what are the chances I'm going to reread this?
That's
it's
right.
It's just taking up space.
That's
here.
Right.
Somebody else should have the opportunity.
Yeah. In a previous life, I used to be a recruiter. And I used to have to travel across Canada all the time. And so I spent a lot of time by myself on the road. So I'd buy books and I'd read them. This is before, like, now I'm Audible all the time. But I used to buy books and read them and then just leave them in hotel rooms. And so somebody else, like, hopefully the staff or the next guest, I would hide them. I wouldn't, like, just put them. I'd put them, like, in the drawer next to the Bible or something. So it would be some random book. And be like, why would the hotel put the Bible next to, like, Dennis Rodman's book? Just
contrast.
Yeah, that's right. So, but yeah, the amount of books that I've just left for other people to read.
That is a great idea. I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but Avenue, Coffee and Eatery, I don't know if right across from Crude Strength and Performance.
Big shout out.
I don't know if they're still doing it, but they had a program going called Blind Date with a Book, where you could present the older books were wrapped in plain brown paper.
Yeah.
when I was younger, a book wrapped in plain brown paper meant something completely different.
Right.
you can purchase, so you can get, you know, a coffee book.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're going to get, which I thought was a really neat idea.
That is a neat idea.
If I can donate to that. I can't.
Yeah.
I believe there's a charity involved there, yeah. And I can't recall what it is. Sorry about that, Avenue.
Yeah.
But that's a great idea.
That is a good idea. What I've been doing with books recently is I've been buying people books. Like, if I feel somebody could, like, get something out of a book that I've read. Mm-hmm. Like, and I know books are, they cost money, and a lot of people are like, you spend your money where you spend it. But if I find there's a book that I'm like, oh, somebody would like this, I've been purchasing it. And I just gave Tanner a book today that I didn't have to purchase. I just had to find.
100%. It's the only book I will ever be reading, ever.
Are we allowed to talk about this collection?
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay. I don't know. Some things, you know.
Yeah, no.
Tanner collects Guinness Book of World Records.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I knew that there was one in my house. So his oldest Guinness book was 1994. So I found a 1992 in a bookshelf at my house.
I love being filled with, like, useless information. You know, like, I'm great at parties. But I tell people I'm great at parties.
Nice.
Yeah.
So have you always just been a big guy and that's how you got into this? Or were you worked your way up to
definitely
stature?
Worked my way up.
So what was the igniter coil? What, like, triggered you to, like, hey, this, I want to not potentially, like, get into strongman, but mm-hmm. I just want to get bigger.
So when I was younger, one of the series of books that I read was the Conan the Barbarian series by Robert E. Howard and other authors as well.
Right.
That had a big impact on me. Mm-hmm. And the question that you asked, Leif, your previous guest, was what was one of the movies from his childhood that he would go back to?
Right.
Conan the Barbarian.
Right.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Watching that movie had a huge impact on me. And it wasn't so much, I'm pumping iron as well, you know. I mean, I saw that. My dad lifted weights. My dad is 83, and I'm not sure what he can do now, but when my dad turned 75, he could still barbell curl his own body weight.
Wow.
You know, my dad was not a big guy by any stretch of the imagination, but he was in shape and trained hard and that.
Yeah.
All those kind of things. He had a book. I actually recently went traveling down the rabbit hole on eBay and found it. And it was a muscle and fitness book.
Okay.
From, I want to say, the early 80s. And I was able to actually find it. But in that book, there was a picture of a bodybuilder, a guy named Robbie Robinson. And his back looked like nothing I had ever seen. It was like superhero kind of thing, right? And I was like, you mean people can actually look like this?
That's right.
Blew me away. And it started from there. And then, of course, I wanted to, in high school, I was same height I am now, pretty much. I think I'm actually shorter now.
Yeah, it happened.
But I was 170 pounds.
Right.
You know, with a roll of quarters in my pocket.
Yeah.
And I wanted to play football. I knew I had to be heavier at that time get to.
Right.
But it was that. And then it honestly did become a little bit of an obsession with me.
Yeah.
And training became a major focus in my life. And
okay.
So when I came out here, I left Manitoba. I grew up in Winnipeg. So as Leif might call me a wimp when it comes to the cold.
Yeah.
I just don't like it.
That's right.
I am pretty sure I can stand it. You can make it as cold as you want. I've been there.
That's right.
But yeah, it's when I came out here, I decided that I needed to focus more on doing something where I could use my experience.
Mm.
And my knowledge and my skills to do something that I felt was good for people. So personal training, which is what I do, became, you know, my major focus. And it's what I do for a living. But the main aspect of it that I love the most is I do feel like I'm having a positive impact on people.
That's awesome, man.
Doing what I love to do to make good changes for them.
So that's your full-time job?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And how long have you been doing that in town for now?
In town for 3 years. We moved out here, I think actually we got here June, I want to say 23rd, 2019.
Right. So okay.
I haven't been here for very long.
Okay. Listen, bro, this is the worst part of my show because Tanner tapped the watch a few minutes ago, so I got to wrap it up. But okay. I got tons of questions about, like, your business, about wrestling, about football. So please come back again on the show.
We'd love to.
For everybody here, I'm going to ask those questions when the cameras are off. But we'd love to have you again and again and again. But before I cut you loose, everybody gets a shameless shout-out or plug. You got the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
Awesome. Thank you. I definitely would like to thank, in particular, we have a large number of sponsors for this event. I don't have time to thank them all. But in particular, from me, I want to say thank you to Derek McNeil from McNeil Chiropractic, Ahmed Judah from Alberta Masonry, Johnson from the Black Horse Pub. Really, really appreciate you guys. I can't even say. And to my wife for putting up with my stupid ideas and tolerating me for as long as you have. Love you, baby.
There we go. I love the brownie points. All right. Wrapping up the show, but this whole week is dedicated to the Strongman competition and Highland Games that are taking place on the first Canada Day down at Mac Island. So if you're watching this, please, please, please go support these local athletes. Big shout out to Noral Toyota for being our title sponsor for the show. We appreciate your ongoing support. And for everybody else, I hope you're having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
What a deadly old way to end another morning show. Later, boss.
It's so ballistic!
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst. Yeah.